National Insecurity.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. No one is immune from identity theft, not even this country's soldiers. The Veterans Affairs Department says just about every active duty member of the military may be at risk because of data stolen from a VA employee last month. There haven't been any reports of ID theft so far, but this has become one of the nation's largest security breaches. The VA is already notifying some 26 million veterans that their names and Social Security numbers are out there. More employee troubles at Northwest Airlines. Flight attendants have turned down a pay cut deal, and that could put a recent agreement with the pilots in jeopardy, too. Janet Babin reports.
The proposed contract called for flight attendants to take a 21% hourly pay cut. The union says that's on top of other concessions worth more than a third of their pay. The vast majority of the flight attendants rejected the deal. Northwest recently got concessions from its pilots, but that contract is contingent on other workers hammering out deals as well. Brad Bartholomew is with the Newfoundland Group.
It is saying that if we're going to participate in the concessions, everybody is. However, the pilots will probably more than likely just sit there with the deal they've struck and let management and the flight attendant union slug it out.
The union says it wants to talk, but Northwest asked a bankruptcy court to allow it to impose new contract terms on the flight attendants. Northwest says it needs $1.4 billion in concessions from all its workers to become financially viable. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Wall Street blues keep on keeping on. The Dow fell 46 points to barely finish above 11,000. The NASDAQ lost 6 to 2162. The S&P 500 dropped a point. The shareholders of General Motors met yesterday, and for the first time in the company's history, they approved two non-binding proposals. As Elisa Roth reports, one of them would change the way GM's board is elected.
To get elected in the current system, board members have to get the most votes, but not a majority of votes. Charles Elson directs the Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware.
Under the traditional system, those with the most votes won. And where you were running unopposed, it meant you could get but one vote and get elected to the board.
And, he says, it left shareholders with little say.
There is really, for a shareholder, no way out, no way to register real concern, other than voting no.
Under the new system, board members would have to get more than 50% of the votes to be elected. Elson says it's a significant difference.
It basically gives power to a no vote.
It also gives shareholders more say in the process and is designed to encourage boards to find members that shareholders like. Elson says more and more companies are passing similar resolutions, including some big names like ExxonMobil. He expects more shareholders will demand similar rights in the future. But the fate of the GM resolution is still unclear. The board gets final approval. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Certain people like GM's Cadillac Escalade, certain people who like to steal cars. For the fourth straight year, the Escalade topped the list of newer vehicles most coveted by thieves. A couple of Ford pickup trucks also made the top five, and the Chrysler Sebring's in there too. You're listening to Marketplace. Here's one way to ruin a promising business career. Get busted for a multi-million dollar investment scam while you're still in school. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
New York University student Hakan Yalincock got investors to sink millions into a non-existent hedge fund. And wait till you hear who fell for it.
These are among the most sophisticated or accredited people in the world.
Securities attorney Lance Kimmel says investment gurus and hedge fund managers were duped. Most said they invested based on the 22-year-old's charisma. Kimmel says even after Enron and SEC crackdowns, he's not surprised.
I'd like to think perfect documentation is what does a deal, but I've practiced law long enough to know that it is feeling comfortable and trusting a person to whom you're going to write a check.
Yalincock pleaded guilty to bank and wire fraud. He faces up to 50 years in prison. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by SHRM, whose annual conference starts June 25th in Washington, D.C., focusing on helping HR professionals align people strategies with business goals. SHRM.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This week, the Senate's looking at repealing the estate tax. The House has already voted to get rid of it. In this edition of The Public's Business, commentator Robert Reich says this is a bad move for the economy.
The earnings of nearly everyone used to rise with rising productivity. That's no longer true. Today's workers are 24% more productive than they were 5 years ago, but their median real earnings barely budged. What's happened to all this extra value? A big chunk has gone to people earning over $1 million a year, mostly CEOs, investment bankers, and hedge fund managers. This past year, 25 hedge fund managers each took home at least $130 million. Henry Paulson, our about-to-be Treasury Secretary, pocketed over $30 million. Average CEO pay back in 1966 was 60 times that of the typical American worker. Now it's 400 times. Wealth is even more lopsided than income. Henry Paulson's net worth of more than $700 million doesn't even earn him a place among Forbes' richest 400 Americans. Now, what does this mean for the nation? 30 years ago, the richest 1% owned less than a fifth of America's total wealth. Now, according to a recent report by the Federal Reserve Board, they own over a third. Not since the days of the robber barons of the 19th century have we seen this much wealth concentrated in so few hands. Super-rich couples can now pass on $4 million to their heirs tax-free. Anything over $4 million is taxed at a 45% rate. So why exactly is it so important to repeal the estate tax altogether? Repeal will cost the Treasury nearly $1 trillion in its first 10 years, more than the entire shortfall in Social Security. That means more federal debt or higher taxes on the middle class. Those who argue for repeal say the estate tax discourages entrepreneurs. What? Passing on $4 million tax-free to your kids is not enough incentive? Talk about discouraging entrepreneurship. Repeal the estate tax, and within a few decades, control over America's productive assets will be in the hands of non-productive Americans who never lifted a finger in their lives except to speed dial their financial advisors. People who inherit great wealth just because they're lucky enough to have super-rich parents don't have any particular incentive to be entrepreneurial. They don't have any particular incentive to do anything. That's who we want to run the American economy? According to a new report from United for a Fair Economy, 18 families worth a total of $185 billion have financed and coordinated the repeal campaign. If they succeed, they'll net $71 billion on their tax bills. That's what they call entrepreneurship.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He was labor secretary under President Clinton. Let us hear your thoughts. Log on to our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Dunkin' Donuts says it's screening every...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.